My next guest is the 85th top celebrity in the country, or so says Forbes magazine. George Lopez is a Grammy-nominated comedian, television producer, writer, and actor whose latest movie, Balls of Fury, is in theaters now. The movie takes place in the illicit world of underground ping pong, where George plays Agent Rodriguez, charged with taking down Christopher Walken's evil table tennis empire. George Lopez, welcome to the show.
You know, I don't think that anything that we could have done could have given the movie more of a proper introduction than what you just said.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for lending us some credibility.
I have to ask, how are your balls today? Are they sanguine? Are they furious?
They are furious. They are ready to explode.
Keep it together for the next 11 minutes,
I'll try to hold it together.
In Balls of Fury, you play an FBI agent who recruits Randy Daytona, who's played by Dan Fogler, into the dangerous world of underground ping pong. Is it okay to call it table tennis, by the way? Is that a no-no?
Well, when you keep score faith, I think it's table tennis. When there's potential alcohol and bouncing of ping pong balls into cups, and if I bounce and you drink it, mm-hmm. and you bounce, I drink it.
That's ping pong.
That's
ping pong. Got it.
If you care, it's table tennis. If you're trying to get drunk and have fun and then go for a swim and then have a cheeseburger, it's ping pong and beer pong potentially.
Let's listen to a bit of a scene where you're trying to convince Randy Daytona to work with you.
Mr. Daytona?
Yeah.
The FBI needs you to take part in a top secret mission, one that calls for a man of your unique skills. I'm not joking, man. I'm FBI, I swear.
Come on, man. You got a hidden camera on you, right? Huh?
Cut it out. You're not allowed to do that.
Ooh. Fake gun and everything. Oh!
Now, why don't you put on some big boy pants? We'll go for a ride.
Yes.
So,
my homage to Edward James Olmos.
So George, I mean, aside from the fact that underground ping pong is so often ignored in the mainstream media, what drove you to this project?
Well, I think that the integrity of the creators of Balls of Fury, mm-hmm. which was Tom Lennon and Ben Garant, who created Reno 911, and that is played, it's farcical, but it's played completely straight.
Yeah.
You know, it's a parody of Cops. And that was wildly successful and nicely cutting edge and different than normal, right?
Yeah.
For this part, I mean, you saw the movie. I'm pretty straight during the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
And then in the end, I become a little bit of, bravado and a little James Bond type of person. But I think that's refreshing for people to see that I'm just kind of the conductor who takes these guys through Chinatown with James Hong, who is a, incredible Chinese actor that's been around for 50-plus years and is brilliant in this movie. For if you can be brilliant in Balls of Fury, he's brilliant. And Christopher Walken, who is uncomparable.
Never not brilliant. Yeah.
Never. And he eats this up. I mean, Wedding Crashers, he was great. Click, he's great.
And he looks like a geisha.
He's a geisha, but he's got a Jersey accent. And he is sinister and slapsticky at the same time.
You've obviously worked hard to increase the minority presence in show business. And Balls of Fury seems to follow suit. You know, the lead character, Dan, is a white male, but his friends and his love interest are all minorities. Do you think that Hollywood is finally wising up and taking notice of non-whites?
You know, I don't know if that is the case, because so many movies are. You look at Blades of Glory, and that was completely a Caucasian film. You know, it's like, I'm going to make a movie that I don't want black people or Latino people or Asian people to ever watch. Okay, let's make Blades of Glory. This one, I think, not since Airplane can I remember that something is kind of goofy that incorporates a lot of different ethnicities. And it's great to see Asian, Latinos, and African-American people together not shopping on the street for fruit.
For all your TV and movie success, your primary calling has always been stand-up. And in your act, you talk often and a lot about what it's like to be Mexican-American. So how do you draw the line between what's a funny take on your personal life and what's playing to stereotypes?
I think if it's inherently true and I believe it, then I'll say it. I have to only say things that I believe. But also to some people who see things as colorful and ethnic and non-ethnic. I don't. I just see things the way we do them and, the way I've seen things done. And I report on the things that I've seen. That's why I think that for some people it might be considered stereotypical or not flattering to Latino people. But look, I'm not afraid to say that our culture is not perfect. And there's not a lot of voices that not only want to talk about us, but are unafraid to show the faults that we have.
has become...
That was a good answer.
It was a good answer. Well done. You've performed for the president at the Ford Theater in D.C.
Yes.
What material did you do? Did you use it as an opportunity to talk about immigration?
You know, I wasn't sure what I was going to do until I got on the stage of the Ford Theater.
Really,
and it
truly?
All started. Yeah, I wasn't, you know, I was like, what the hell am I going to say to the president of the United States? And it was really about the changing diversity of the country. And I think by the year 2015, that we would be the majority of people in the United States, and how we would be telling stories to our grandkids about when I was a little boy, there used to be people that had white skin, and I screamed, and he's like, really, Grandpa? And I'm like, really, like the man who cuts our grass. And the president, they said, whimsically looked at me, which I thought, he thought, get this Mexican off the stage immediately, because he's from Texas. So I said,
right,
you're from Texas, you cannot win without us. You can't win without us. And everybody on the side of the stage was like, is he telling the president that he cannot win without the Latino vote? And I said, and every 4 years, a politician comes out and speaks half broken, bad Spanish class, C+ Spanish to try to get Latinos to vote for him. You can't just do it by saying, amigos.
Yes. Yeah. When you're performing for the president, were you looking at him?
Absolutely, I looked at him.
You wanted
sure.
to see if he was laughing, right?
I was not. You know the greatest story? Here's the greatest story, Faith, ever. When I'm done.
Better than the Bible?
I'm standing. No, both. Yeah. In modern times.
Okay.
I'm standing right next to him on the stage. I look down. There's his speech that he just gave.
Yeah.
It's highlighted. It's actually phonetically spelled some of the harder words.
Oh,
so he
no.
leaves, and I look at it. I grab the speech, and I put it in my jacket. I get in the limousine. I'm like, man, I got the president's speech, and we're looking at the notes and the things that are written on the side.
Were there little hearts and flowers?
We're like, does he really need to have Leanne Rimes' name phonetically spelled out? So it's considered a theft, and it's considered a felony if you steal something that the president has touched, because it all goes into the archive of the White House. So in the car, I get out of the car, and Tom Scott, the band leader, says, hey, man, the Secret Service is looking for you. I'm like, man. Yeah, right. And he goes, no, the speech is missing, and they're on to you. That's what he says, they're on to you.
Oh.
I'm like, on to me? I said, you know what, man, I'm going to tell them I don't have it. Why do I have it? Because I'm the only Latino on stage. I have to be the one who took the speech. There are a lot of other people on the stage.
Which you are, by the way.
Which
but
I
yeah.
was the only one, and which I did. So I'm actually defending myself
right.
with theft. That's how it disconnected. So he leaves 10 seconds later. A guy walks up, talks into his wrist, says, I got him. He comes up and he goes, Mr. Lopez, I'm with the Secret Service of the United States and we need to talk to you. And I yell out, it's in the car. I completely caved in.
Oh, man, you could have eBayed that.
I thought for sure I could hold out. Mr. Lopez, it's in the car.
Oh,
and I actually did a show about it on my show about stealing the president's speech.
Hey, speaking of getting the Mexican off the stage that
yes.
you thought the president might say to you, it kind of seems like it was said to Alberto Gonzalez. What do you think about that fiasco? I mean, your first Latino attorney general, he screwed up.
Well, he screwed up in not in our favor. I mean, he really could have wiped out a lot of warrants, a lot of parking tickets, a lot of improprieties. He could have pardoned several Carlos Santana for any of his ill doings. But instead, he takes the other route and gets busted. We would have never said anything. But the thing that I found the most insulting as an older Latino was Alberto Gonzalez saying, my best day as attorney general was better.
No, my worst day was better than my father's best day.
That is amazingly disrespectful to his father, I thought. Somebody who worked hard. They looked at working hard as shameful and as being a punk and having to resign as
right.
positive. That's why in our culture, he would be considered coconut, brown, white inside.
You talk a lot. You talk a lot about race, and people ask about race when they interview.
Yes,
as
they
I
do.
Do you ever want to be just, hey, I'm George Lopez. I'm an actor and a comedian.
Well, I think as long as there's a debate on bias, I didn't even say racism, like they say, well, racism, do you think Hollywood is racist? I just think it's biased and geared. I mean, it was created by older white men, and now it's still run by young white men who prefer to see themselves on TV, right? I mean, BET and CW are predominantly geared toward African-American people, and those are the shows that you see geared. I don't believe in a show being all black and another show being all white. When I did our show, our family was brown, but
that's
the people,
not how life
the
is
people
anymore.
Around yeah. were interesting colors.
That sounds like there was a whole spectrum of colors.
Yes, we hired Asians, and we hired African-American people, and we hired women. We made women doctors. We made people who were upset white and, you know, like taxi driver-ish.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we weren't afraid to just make everybody everything.
Finally, many people may not know this, but while we're chatting here, nestled inside your torso is the kidney formerly known as your wife's.
It is, yes, and it would be considered the our normal anatomy would my kidneys would be behind me, pumping away. This one, because it is given to me by my wife, they put it up in the front near my male anatomy so that they're kind of close together enough to say, look, man, it's almost like a conscience in an organ.
So
protecting the other organ.
That was very wise of your wife to.
I think my wife said, "Well,
we
usually put
kidney.
It in the back. Well, you know, can you put his up in near the front, near the engine?"
Is it unusual for people who aren't related to have compatible kidneys?
It is unusual and highly improbable. But
that's amazing.
Only person ever tested and a good enough match. And here's the thing: is that she had two arteries. Instead of normal people only have one. So 20% of people in the world have two. So it's like a turbo kidney pumping twice the amount of blood.
Right there next to your engine.
Right next to the engine.
George.
Right near the manifold.
George, thank you so much for coming by.
My pleasure,
Faith. I'm thrilled that you did.
A supporter of NPR, always.
My guest today has been George Lopez, whose new movie, Balls of Fury, is in theaters now. To find out more about him, visit our website, morefairgame.org.